Our scripture reading tonight is from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we are desperate for you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. These are, at least some of these, probably familiar words, because it's one of the beautiful promises of God. When you walk through the water, some translations say, when you walk through the deep waters, when you walk through the river, you will not be overtaken. When you walk through the fire, I'm with you. The flames will not burn you. These beautiful promises of God. And yet the very fact that these promises happen remind us of a reality that I sometimes would love to ignore. See, because I would love to live in a world where nothing goes wrong. I really, really like peaceful times of life. I really like it when everybody I know loves one another, gets along, and is not struggling in any way. I'm not a fan of struggling, whether it's physically with your health or with your body in some way, or whether it's struggling mentally and emotionally with your mind and your thought processes, whether it's struggling in relationships, whether it's struggling financially. I'm just really not a fan of the struggle. And yet the reality of it is there are struggles. I know, because in every one of those areas, I have at some point in my 52 years struggled in those areas. I'm reminded when I think of that, of Jesus' words, that in this world, you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And this is what God is saying through Isaiah here. There's going to be deep water sometimes you have to wade through. Sometimes there's going to be fire that might threaten to burn your very existence away. And yet in all those things, I'm with you. And I believe God makes those promises because he wants us to have confidence in his faithfulness, confidence that he's a good God, confidence that he will not leave us or forsake us. What I don't think God wants us to do is to put on our church face and smile in the middle of our pain and say, it's going to be fine, I'm going to be okay. God won't give me anything more than I can handle. First of all, because the reality of it is those words are not in Scripture. God very frequently does give us more than we can handle so that we can somehow learn to let him handle it. Trusting God does not mean that we don't ever doubt or question or struggle in our struggles. We do. And if you think that's unscriptural, then I just challenge you to take some time reading the book of Psalms, where the psalmists, David in particular, but all the psalmists, cry out to God with their pain, with their questions, with their struggles, with their doubts, with their fears, sometimes with their anger. As a matter of fact, pretty much any human emotion we could stir up, we find expressed by the psalmists in the Psalms. How long, oh God, David cries, how long until I see you move, until I see you straighten out my enemies, until I see you set me free. It's okay in the middle of our struggles to have hard questions for God. It's okay if we share with one another, when we ask one another in the middle of our struggles, how are you doing? It's okay to not say, fine. It's okay to say, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. Because that gives us the opportunity to encourage, to bless, to pray for one another. Because sometimes the prayers of the people around us are the only thing that keeps our faith going. But in the middle of our doubts, in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our questions, this is the reality. God says, when you go through these hard times, I will be with you. And sometimes I wonder if we don't waste our hard times because we forget that God will be with us. We think somehow that God said, okay, go ahead, wrestle through this hard thing on your own and I'll catch you on the other side. We forget that he says, don't be afraid because I'll be with you. And I think in order to have those promises become more and more reality in our lives, not just something we know in our head, but something that's pressed out into our hearts and then pressed out into our lives, is we have to look at the other truths, the other promises that God makes in this passage. He says, I formed you. I made you. You are mine. I've called you by name. You are precious to me. You are honored in my sight, and I love you. He says, I will give people in your place. I will give people as a ransom for your soul. And God was probably talking about a whole lot of other stuff going on in Isaiah's time, but the reality of it is, God has given himself in the person of Jesus Christ as a ransom for our soul. Because we're precious to him. Because he loves us. And you know, I frequently say that's the first Bible truth we ever learn is Jesus loves me, this I know. And that's an incredibly important truth. But I think as we start living life and it doesn't look the way we expect it to look, we forget that sometimes, that God just doesn't love us in this general universal way. God loves us intimately and personally and passionately and often fiercely, like a mother lion. He is not gonna let us go, no matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter how hard it is. That's why he's a safe place to take our fears and our doubts. That's why we can be honest with him about what we're feeling, because he loves us. Because he's not going to write us off and say, oh, you didn't have enough faith, you're gone. He loves us. We're precious to him. And sometimes in the middle of the deep waters, in the middle of the fire, we forget that. We forget that God loves us, and we have all these kind of crazy messages in our head that we've learned either at home growing up, or we've learned them out in the world, or we've unfortunately sometimes learned them in church. We have these wildly unhealthy things we think about God. Like sometimes he just loves to pile stuff on to test us to see how strong our faith is. It's like when we say, don't pray for patience, right? Because then God's going to give you a whole bunch of really hard stuff to teach you patience. We worry sometimes if we love something too much that God's going to swoop in and take it away from us. So even though we love God and even though we say we know God loves us, I don't think we've begun to understand the depth of what God's love is like or how good God's character is. We don't understand those things yet. And so we question, and so we doubt, and so we struggle. And sometimes in the middle of the deep waters, in the middle of the fire, we cause ourselves a whole lot more trouble than we need to have because we forget to look for Jesus in the middle of it. We forget to see that even though he maybe didn't cause what we're going through, that he can use it. When I think about that line, you'll walk through the fire and not be set aflame, I'm immediately taken back, and maybe you are too, to the story of the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who wouldn't bow to King Nebuchadnezzar's idol, and so they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and he heated it up like 70 times more than it would have been normally. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these young men who loved God, these young men who dedicated their lives to serving God, say this. They said, we know that God is able to save us from your hand, O King. We know it because we know who God is. And then they say this, but even if he doesn't. Even if he doesn't, we will not serve your God. We will praise ours instead. Because they knew who God was. And they knew that God could rescue them from the fire. But they know, too, that sometimes, for whatever reasons that we don't understand, God lets people go through the fire. But they knew that either way, they were going to stay on God's side. Either way, they were going to hold on to the one who was going to hold on to them. And in that amazing, miraculous story, you know what happens? As three young men are thrown into the fire and are dancing around, all of a sudden, there's a fourth man in the fire, one who has the appearance of the Son of God. And even King Nebuchadnezzar and his servants see. We may not literally be thrown into a fiery furnace, but when we're going through a fiery trial, when we're in the flames and we somehow let the one who holds on to us hold us tightly, and we somehow in the midst of it try to keep our eyes on him, not only do we see Jesus in our struggles, but so do other people. And again, not because we've put a church face on, not because we have all the absolutely perfect, trite Christian slogans, we have all the vocabulary right, not because of any of those reasons, but because somehow Jesus shines through our brokenness, and people can see him even as we struggle. I don't know if I'm in deep water or facing a fiery trial right now, but I know the hardest thing that I'm doing in my life right now is watching Tom's mom get old. It's the hardest thing that I have to do right now. Harder than watching my kids and praying for them and, you know, watching the decisions they make for their life, some of which are wonderful and some I'm not so sure about. It's harder than whatever I'm struggling with in my own life or Tom's struggling with in his own life. But watching this beautiful woman that we love so much really start to take a couple steps down, and she has some sort of a congestive heart failure problem going on right now, and it's really amping up the little bit of dementia that she has, and she's confused a lot, and it's heartbreaking, and it's hard week after week to watch this vital woman slow down and become confused. And part of me, and I know part of Tom, would love to just run away. We'd love not to do it. But we know as well that this is the place that God has called us to right now, to walk through this fiery time for her, maybe not for us, but this fiery time for her, to love her, to encourage her, to pray for her, just to be with her. And as much as I don't want to do it, and as hard some weeks as it is, and we drive home after lunch on Sundays with her in tears sometimes, I've realized something about this trial. Because, see, I've walked this path before, because my own beautiful mom, while she didn't have any kind of really dementia, her breast cancer metastasized to her brain with inoperable brain tumors that slowly took away her mind, that turned her into a child. And I walked through that with her. And I walked through it with her very badly. I walked through it most of the 7 months, the last 7 months of her life, really, really angry with God. And only occasionally allowing him to comfort me because I was so mad. I kind of kept him at arm's length during that time. That was the hardest walk of my life. Harder than walking through my blindness, harder than getting divorced and being a single mom, harder than anything else I've ever done was walking that path of my mom changing from a beautiful, articulate, intelligent, gracious woman to a child. Hardest walk I've ever walked in my life. And it was ugly. It was an ugly time in my life. It was an ugly time in my faith. And yet, you know what? The whole time walking through, even though I couldn't see it, God was holding me. He was breathing life into me. And when I couldn't feel him or sense him or trust him on my own, then he would put people in my path who would love me with his love, who would pray for me, who would be strong for me. And when the night finally came, when I lost my mom, when my sisters and I gathered around her hospital bed in my son Jimmy's room, and Jesus reached down and took her up into eternity, it was a holy moment. I literally wanted to take off my shoes. And in that holy moment, the God who held me every step of that journey made himself real to me. All of a sudden, the veil was gone, and I could sense him again, and I could believe him again, and I could trust him again. And I knew that everything that I had doubted and everything I had questioned and everything I had yelled and hollered about, I knew that his truth was true. I knew that he was a God of love. I knew he was a God who would never let me go. I knew that his grace was greater than my disobedience and my unbelief. I knew for sure in that moment that everything I believed about the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come was absolutely true. That resurrection happens. That broken people are made whole in the presence of God. I knew it to be true. And it changed my life. And it changed my faith. And so now God gives me a chance to walk this path again. God once again calls me to hold the hand of a woman who is slowly losing her mind, to love her, to take care of her the best way I can in the limited access to her that I have, not being able to have her in my own home. To pray for her. I pray that God is gracious to her. I pray that he will not let her fully slip into dementia, but she may. We know people that we love in this very room who had to go through that struggle. But I know this time that God's in it. I know that Jesus isn't going to ask me to walk anywhere or go through anything, that he is not going to walk with me, that he is not going to hold my hand, that he is not going to use somehow for his glory. I don't know what kind of trial you're in right now. Maybe you're not in a trial, and praise God for that. But I don't know if you're in a trial, if you're in a fiery place, if you're in just a place of struggle where you're just struggling with something. It's my prayer for us that God will open our eyes that we can see Jesus in the middle of that deep water, in the middle of that fiery time. And if you're in the middle of something and you haven't invited him into it yet, I'm going to invite you in a couple minutes with me to invite him in, to ask him to open your eyes. Because we can yell and scream and have, you know, temper tantrums, and God's still going to love us, and he's going to pick us up, and he's going to hold us. But you know, it's a whole lot easier when we can let him instead press the truth of who he is, the truth of how he loves us, into our hearts. So we can say with those three beautiful young men, we know. As my friend Sue says, we know in our knower that our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we're still going to trust him. We're still going to hold on to him. We're still going to believe in him. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are not a God who gives up. We thank you that you are not a God who lets us slip out of your hands. You're not a God who even lets us run away from you. But you throw out your lasso of grace and you call us home. God, we thank you that you're a God who invites us into an honest, intimate relationship, that we can be honest about what we're feeling, that we don't have to gloss over our feelings with some sort of Christianese, that we can tell you we're afraid, we can tell you that we're doubting, we can tell you that we're not sure you're even there. God, you're bigger than any question or any doubt we could throw at you. We are so thankful for that. We're so thankful that you give us writings, your scriptures like the Psalms, where we can see the fullness of what it means to be human, and yet at the same time, the fullness of who you are. So God, you know each one of our hearts. You know where we struggle. You know our little struggles. You know our big struggles. You know the deep waters before us. You know the fiery trials we may be in the middle of, or even the ones that are ahead of us. So God, we just want to invite you in tonight to our struggle, big or small, whatever it looks like. God, we want to ask you to open our eyes that we could see you. God, we want you to help us hold on to our mustard seed of faith so we could trust you. God, help us not to just believe things in our head, but help us to have you press your truth into our heart and then out into our lives. That somehow, in the middle of our brokenness, in the middle of our struggle, people will see you. God, you said it in those words from Isaiah that Tom read for us today. You've made us, you've called us, you've created us for your glory, God. So glorify yourself in our good times and in our messy times and in our trials. We believe in you. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.